My word, I'm ready.
We're going to do the executive agreement first. I'll hook on that.
Welcome, everyone. I will call the Senate Committee on Rules to order. We're going to start today with a last executive appointment who was unable to attend at our meeting last week. And Cherie, I think we've got this person by phone.
Yes.
We will open a public hearing and work session on the appointment of Kevin Dunn to the Ocean Policy Advisory Council. Push a button or something. There we are. Hello, Mr. Dunn.
Yes, ma'am.
This is Jenny Burdick, and I'm here with the other members of the Senate Rules Committee, and we are here to consider your appointment to the Ocean Policy Advisory Council. So if you could put your name on the record and give us a few words on why you're interested in this appointment.
Yes, ma'am, fellow committee members. My name is Kevin Dunn. I reside at 92,000 Lewis and Clark Road in Astoria, Oregon. And I am a nominee for the North Commercial Chair on the Oceans Policy Advisory Council. I've been fishing for more than 35 years from Alaska, California, all points in between. And the opportunity came up for a chair that was vacating. I thought that I would put my name in. I'm currently on, the reason I'm not in person, showing up in person, is I am at a community advisory board meeting in Portland conducting a five-year review for the West Coast Cat Share program. And I think you have everything in front of you. I also am on the ground fish advisory panel with the Pacific Fisheries Management Council. I've watched essential fish habitats, marine reserves, rockfish conservation areas, wind energy, wave energy, and as everybody is vying for a position in the ocean, I guess I would like to be a part of mapping that. At the council level, we have a statement, but probably at most any level, and if you're not at the table, you're on the table.
On the menu.
I would certainly like to be a part of the team that's creating the menu.
We say fish today.
Okay, well, thank you very much. Committee, do you have any questions?
Nope.
No, we had fish for lunch.
We all had fish for lunch, for the record.
Wonderful.
Okay. Thank you very much. And normally we do these appointments, a whole bunch of them at the end, but you will actually get a chance to hear the vote on your appointment because you're the only one on our agenda today. So at this time, I will close the public hearing on the appointment of Kevin Dunn to the Ocean Policy Advisory Committee and open a work session to move the appointment of Kevin Dunn to the Ocean Policy Advisory Council to the Senate floor with the recommendation he be confirmed. Is there any discussion? Any objection? So ordered. So, Mr. Dunn, you are on the floor of the Senate now.
Thank you so much, and have a wonderful day.
You do the same. Thank you. Okay.
Carrier.
Senator Roblin.
Sure. That'd be great.
He's our fish guy. Okay. Now we will open. I'm going to go ahead and take care of this work session real quick. I'm going to open a work session on Senate Bill 1062. Cherie.
Madam Chair and members, Senate Bill 1062 directs school districts, education service districts, and public charter schools to adopt a healthy, safe, and schools plan to address environmental conditions and provides criteria for the content of adopted plans. Senate Rules held a public hearing on this measure on May 10th. Today we have the Dash 2 amendments being offered, and the Dash 2 amendment fixed the Safe Schools Fund Facility grant cap at $7 million and decreased the transfer for deposit into the Healthy Schools Facilities Fund at $2 million. Sure. Additionally, the amendments eliminate grants for installation of carbon monoxide detection devices and direct HOA to adopt mandatory guidelines for testing and reduction of elevated levels of lead in water. We have received fiscal light paperwork for this measure and for the Dash 2 amendments, and revenue paperwork indicates the anticipated impact.
What's the date of the amendment?
Okay.
Okay. Madam Chair, I move the A2 amendment stated 225-17 into the main bill.
Senator Boquist has moved the -2 amendment into Senate Bill 1062. Is there any discussion? Any objection? So ordered. Senator Boquist.
Madam Chair, I move 1062 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendations and the bill referred to the Committee on Ways and Means.
Senator Boquist has moved Senate Bill 1062 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation that the bill be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. Is there any discussion? Any objection?
They have no room down there.
So
and they have no money. That's why I'm not worried about it.
Right? This is a chatty committee. Okay. Now we will open a public hearing on HCR 21. Cherie.
Madam Chair and members, House Concurrent Resolution 21 commemorates the 100th anniversary of Deschutes County's establishment. There are no amendments, and fiscal and revenue paperwork indicate no impact on the state's measure.
Okay. Do we have a sign up?
On its way.
We have nobody signed up. Oh, yes.
Look, he was sitting there.
He signed up.
He did that very quietly.
Oh, my goodness.
You need new glasses, Madam Chair.
He didn't want to be noticed.
Welcome, Senator.
I came up without you asking me to come up, Madam Chair.
Welcome.
Good, Madam Chair, honorable committee members. For the record, I'm Gene Wisnett, state representative. House District 53, which is located in Deschutes County. I'm honored to bring you House Concurrent Resolution 21 from your House Rules Committee. House Concurrent Resolution 21 commemorates the 100th anniversary of the creation of Deschutes County. Deschutes County was created on December 13, 1916, from a part of Western Crook County. It became the newest Oregon county and is the largest and last county to be established in Oregon. The county was named for the Deschutes River, which runs through the county south to the north. Not many rivers run north, but this one does. It became the new, Deschutes is a French word for rapids. The creation of Deschutes County began in 1914 when an attempt to move Crook County seat from Prineville to Bend failed. Mm-hmm. The Bend leaders joined Jefferson County, which was the first to break off of Crook County in 1914. Today, Deschutes County is one of the fastest growing counties in Oregon and the United States of America. I'm proud to be a resident of Deschutes County, honored to represent part of the diverse population of our county, where many come to spend their yearly holidays skiing, golfing, fishing, camping, backpacking, biking, loading the Deschutes, enjoying the many recreational opportunities on the high desert. So I urge the committee to pass this resolution so our county will have something to put on a plaque that says we're 100 years old.
Thank you very much. Discussion, Senator Beyer.
So it broke off from Crook County, huh? That was after Crook County broke off from Wayne County.
Yes, sir.
After the Civil War, too. Yeah. Okay, so
Senator Roblin.
Just a comment. You know, my father had fond memories of Deschutes County. He was a combat engineer during the Second World War, trained at Camp Abbott, which is now close to where Representative Wisnett lives in Sun River, and you'll see the big building there that was made by them. And he said they had a lot of interesting things that they did because it was a very small group. My dad was 6'2", and he was the shortest person in his platoon.
Wow.
The tallest was a 7-foot guy from Louisiana.
Wow.
Their job was to put the bridges back across the Rhine under fire. So it was an interesting group of people, and we had a lot of conversations about the Deschutes, and we were going to take him over there to see his old place. And my mother, when we finally got there, said, "I thought you said this was a really rough place. It looks really quite nice right now." So, but it was an interesting time for him in his life as a young man. And so I have family fond memories of the Deschutes, and I think it's nice to be able to do this.
Madam Chair and Senator, I've met a few Sun River residents that were stationed at Camp Abbott, too. And as the good senator said, they were training to build bridges across the Rhine or the other, across the bridges we destroyed to get troops moving. They actually only had one celebration in the Great Hall.
Oh, is that right?
Christmas Eve that they invited everyone to. So I hope you'll come and look at the history of that beautiful building. That's the only building left from Camp Abbott. There was a church we moved But now we're also having to go through and clean up all the ammunition and asbestos. Not only homeowners didn't just spend money for the new shark, our water park, we had to spend money to clean up all the asbestos and other things from the military when they were there. But thank you, Madam Chair.
All right. Thank you.
I would just like to point out to the chair of the Joint Committee and the co-chair of the Joint Committee that back then we could trade Army engineers to build bridges across the Rhine in a couple weeks instead of 5 freaking years it takes us to build a bridge now.
Ten years.
That's true. Didn't take them long.
Thank you very much.
I hope this committee continues to have this pleasant attitude and enjoy life.
Thank you. We're working at it.
Thank you, Madam.
You ready, okay. Madam Chair?
We will close the public hearing on HCR 21 and open a work session on HCR 21.
Ma'am, I move HCR 21 to the floor. Would it be adopted?
Senator Boquist has moved HCR 21 to the Senate floor. Would it be adopted? Recommendation, discussion, objection, so ordered. Senator Knope will carry it. Okay, now we'll open a public hearing on House Bill 2696. Sheree.
Madam Chair and members, House Bill 2696A permits community college district bonding measures to be included in the statewide voters pamphlet if the county does not print and distribute a voters pamphlet for that election. There are no amendments being offered. Revenue paperwork indicates no impact, and fiscal paperwork indicates a minimal impact associated with this measure.
Thank you. I suspect this might have some impact in Coos County. Just call me crazy.
He's just going to vote no and give notice of minority report with me. That's
welcome. Bless the start.
I'll begin. For the record, Arnie Roblin, District 5. We have had the opportunity to have a really outstanding community college, and it is the first community college set up in Oregon. A group of longshoremen in our area decided that we needed to make a middle class based on having working people have an opportunity for their kids to go to college. And so the very first community college in the state of Oregon was founded in Southwestern Oregon Community College. And we have a beautiful campus. It has expanded. We have a campus now also down in Curry County. And they have extensions up into Douglas County. So it covers a fairly large area of the Southwestern Oregon. What we found a few years ago when we wanted to do a bond to build a science building on our campus, because our science buildings are back from the 1960s. They have not gotten larger, even though we would like to have had them get larger. So we decided we wanted to build this new building. And that's when we started running up against a whole bunch of things. This eventual building has caused us to bring a couple different bills here to the Senate and the House. One we had to build so that we could break apart different districts. So we have parts of Curry, Coos, and Douglas County. The building was going to be in the Coos County part, so we really wanted that group to be able to do it. Hood River community had the same problem, and so we brought a bill here and we passed that a while back. The next one was when we tried to get the information out about the bond levy, the best place to get an issue out is in the voters pamphlet. And what we found is we're a special district in a county, actually multiple counties. We couldn't get it into, like our county doesn't put out one. So the only way was to start looking at an opportunity to get into the states. So we knew that there would be some regulations to get into there, paying for it, all those kinds of things. That's not a problem. But getting the information out to all the voters in those counties was really important to us. And so Patty Scott, who was going to be here testifying, our president, looked through as many different places she could trying to figure out how to solve this problem and came to the conclusion that the only way to solve it was to come up with a bill. And the House was generous enough by the great representative, Patty McEwen, to introduce this bill. So I'll let her go from there. But it is an important thing. It's important for voters to have the opportunity to see who's for it and who's against it, how much the vote it is, and all the kinds of information that is put into a voter pamphlet about special elections. So would love to have your support.
Thank you. Welcome, Representative McEwen.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Kati McEwen. I represent House District 9 on the South Coast. I'd be remiss today if I didn't mention the fact that when the community college was founded, my father served on, I believe, the second round of community college board members when they actually expanded and bought some additional property way back in the 60s. And today is my father's 96th birthday. And I've had the great good fortune of being able to take him out to the college on numerous occasions and show him what his good work started many, 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 many years ago when they were working very hard with the longshoremen to make sure that they had the land that they needed to build the college. So it's kind of a fun day for me. I think Senator Roblin characterized this very, very well. Under current law, the state voters' pamphlets do not include special district measures, and they're only publicized in the county which they can affect. So this bill is very narrowly crafted just for community colleges. I agree with the senator. I think it's important when you bring bond measures of these sizes, which can be significant when they involve community college investment, that our voters are clearly well informed on what they are voting on. So that's why we decided this was important, and we're happy to help out our community colleges and others by bringing this bill. Without taking up any more of your time, I'm delighted to have an opportunity to introduce our college president, Dr. Patty Scott, who is one of the most well-respected members of our community. She does a fine job operating this institution, and we're very proud to have her with us today.
Thank you. Welcome.
Good afternoon, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Patty Scott, and the president at Southwestern Oregon Community College. And for the record, I'm a rural Oregon girl. I grew up in northeastern Oregon, and for the last 24 years, I've lived in southwestern Oregon. So I'm very passionate about rural Oregon, and one of the things is to try to reduce barriers that exist to the voters there. So as Senator Roblin indicated, we first learned of the problem with the voters pamphlet in last fall, actually August, when we were pursuing whether or not to go out for a bond measure or not. And the voters pamphlet is a way, an inexpensive way, to get the facts out to the voters, particularly in rural Oregon, where Wi-Fi is limited and print media is becoming even more limited in terms of reaching our citizens. And this bill not only impacts Southwestern Oregon Community Colleges, which is part of three different counties, it also affects 14 of the other 17 counties. And most of you are familiar with the state of Oregon. Most have very rural areas in their district. So this would allow any of the community college districts that are pursuing some kind of bond measure to have it in the statewide voters pamphlet if their county doesn't do their own voters pamphlet, which most rural counties don't do their own separate voters pamphlet because of the cost. So this is one way to eliminate another barrier in rural Oregon, because the current law only allows for metropolitan areas to be included, or state or countywide measures to be in the voters pamphlet.
What happens if you're in a community college district that has maybe a county, say you've got three or four counties, and one of them has a voters pamphlet and the other three don't? What would happen then? Would you be in both the statewide or in the county, or is this even a reality?
I don't know. Like, for example, in our county, Douglas County doesn't do a voters pamphlet, so I can't speak for all the other, you know, counties in Oregon, but most of the rural counties don't do their own separate voters pamphlet because they just can't afford to, and they rely on the state.
Okay.
I'm going to this community college covers three counties.
Right.
So I believe, Chair Burdick, the question you're asking is if Curry County has a voters pamphlet and Douglas and Coos do not.
Right.
It would still be beneficial to have it in the statewide voters pamphlet because you're only covering a segment of that electorate, so only part of them would be well informed. So we can certainly find that out, but I think the bill would allow that. I think that's the whole point, that if it's not printed anywhere or in only a segment, that we cover the entire community college district.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Questions?
That's good.
Thank you very much. Bill.
Thank you. Yeah. Appreciate your time.
Thank you. Becky Gladstone?
Chair Burdick, members of the committee, thank you for hearing our testimony. For the record, I'm Rebecca Gladstone, speaking on behalf of the League of Women Voters of Oregon. We support state voters' pamphlets in compliance with statute. This bill would allow community college district bonding measures to be included in state voters' pamphlets if the counties don't print and distribute voters' pamphlets. Our voter education position supports providing voters with accurate information to make reasoned, informed choices. Our fiscal responsibility position supports responsible administration. One of our founding principles is the League of Women Voters believes that efficient and economical government requires competent personnel, the clear assignment of responsibilities, adequate financing, and coordination among different agencies and levels of government. We value Oregon's proactive legacy, including expectations that we accurately represent voting districts on ballots. We have the technology to process and provide voting information directly from the State Elections Division. We support efficiently sharing data between Oregon government agencies. In League Voter Resources work to represent customized ballot information, we found incomplete information for some special districts, particularly community colleges. In light of the recent Senate Bill 2906 passage establishing the Oregon Geographic Information Council within the Office of the State Chief Information Officer, we call for improving data sharing between Oregon's various governments. Note that some counties do not share necessary data to apply the actions called for in this bill. I might add, such as the tax codes needed for identifying community college district boundaries. With respect to the discussion you just had, I might add that it's particularly difficult when some of these boundaries cross or share county areas, but not perhaps for the entire county boundary. This really could use a lot of improvement, and the technology is all here. If you look at the testimony I submitted, there's a map on there, and it shows counties for which these data sharing agreements need follow up. Thank you for hearing
Thank
our
you.
Testimony.
Questions from the committee? Senator Boquist.
I just want to point out, just to make sure, the good senator to my left doesn't want to change this, but in page 1, section 3, and page 2, section 4, in the three-county scenario, according to the existing law that's already in here, in the three-county scenario, if one of the counties has a county voter's pamphlet, that county will not receive – the information will not be in the statewide voter's pamphlet for that county. So you only receive – of the three counties, all three would get the information. It's just the county that does – the county that does its own won't have the state, its state version won't have it in there, which is consistent with existing law.
Right.
So they'll only get it once, but they'll make sure it covers all the counties.
Got it.
That's under the existing state law right now.
Thank you for answering that, Senator Boquist.
I just want to make sure you're happy with this.
I'm okay with it.
If you're happy with it, then we're happy with it.
We just want to make sure the information gets out there, and I think it makes, and we understand that if the county is already doing it, we should be in that one.
Right. Okay. Thank you. All right, that's all we have signed up, so I will close the public hearing on Senate Bill 1062. What?
You don't have the paperwork?
2696. Oh, I'm sorry, 2696. I was said the wrong number. I will close the public hearing on House Bill 2696 and open a work session on House Bill 2696.
Madam Chair, I move House Bill 2696 to the floor with a
due pass.
It's going to be adopted. No. I've made so many motions in my life, and I can't even remember one now today, right?
You confused me
on this county thing.
I know.
You were starting to get the stink eye, Mr. Senator Boquist. Senator Boquist has moved House Bill 2696 to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Any objection? So ordered. I wonder who we should get to carry this. Oh, how about Senator Roblin?
Yeah, I think I would like to do that.
I get that count separate.
I get the count separate on my festival.
All right. Okay, committee, that completes our business, and we are adjourned. We're adjourned. Okay, committee, that completes our business, and we